Welcome back, everyone. We're so happy that you've tuned in for the final episode of Finding Unity in Humanity, Beginning a New Legacy of Social Justice. My name is Brittany. I'm the Alpha Iota Chi president, and I go by she, her pronouns.
And I am Mackenzie, Alpha Iota Chi Honors in Action chair, and I go by she, her pronouns.
A big shout out to everyone who shared their truth and allowed us to see a glimpse into their world so far on these podcasts. We appreciate you more than you could ever know. And on this episode, we're going to conclude our series with some suggestions on what you, our listeners, can do to make a difference.
Before we get started, we wanted to say thank you once again to the young artist who created our podcast cover art. We love it, and we love what it stands for. It really delivers our message of unity and forming a human connection among those different from us.
Now, after listening to Finding Unity in Humanity, Beginning a New Legacy of Social Justice, you may find yourself asking, what now? Where do I fit in, and how can I make a difference? How can I support these people and others like them in living safely as their true, authentic selves and one with our community? Here to guide us in doing so is our guest today, Chris Sanders.
Hi, how are you all doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Chris Sanders has served as Executive Director of the Tennessee Equality Project and the Tennessee Equality Project Foundation since 2013. He holds a Master's Degree of Divinity from Vanderbilt University and previously served as the President of the Nashville LGBT Chamber of Commerce and was a founding member of the Nashville Grizzlies rugby football team, which is Nashville's first gay rugby team.
The Tennessee Equality Project advocates for the equal rights of LGBTQ people in Tennessee through legislative advocacy, lobbying the Tennessee General Assembly and local governments around the state. TEP also monitors federal legislature to detect anti-LGBTQIA laws and sentiment.
Chris, we wanted to thank you so much for being here with us today.
And I really appreciate the invitation. It's always great to speak with a group of students who are looking at the world with new eyes and trying to make change.
Of course, and we're really thankful to have you here. And I'm just going to throw you on the spot real quick. I hope you don't mind if we play a quick game of 21 questioners to help our listeners kind of get to know you a little bit better.
Sure, hit me with what you got.
Okay, so we're going to start with a few easy ones. First one being, what is your favorite color?
Purple, and it has been since I was a child. I remember my great-grandmother made me a stuffed purple cat once as a gift, and I loved it, and I've loved the color ever since. And it's also the anti-bullying color.
Oh, that's awesome. And what is your zodiac sign?
I'm a Capricorn, and I'll try not to show too much of that
today. Oh, I think Capricorns are easy to get along with. That'll be fine.
And what is your favorite food?
Anything country food, fried to you can barely see it anymore. Italian-American. I mean, I could go either way. You set me in front of a buffet of either one, and I'm happy for hours.
So. Oh, my gosh. Me too. I hope you don't mind if we get a little bit more personal now.
If you want.
I'd love if you could tell us, I mean, you already told us about your grandmother, but can you tell us a really good memory that comes to your mind?
Yeah, I remember my first cat. His name was Blackberry, and I think I was two or three, and we just played in the snow for hours. It was must have been a January, and just playing in my front yard with my cat when I was very, very young. That is my first memory, and I think it's the first one because I loved that cat so much. And I could see him because he was a black cat. So the snow didn't matter, but we would just play in the front yard, and that's a good memory.
Oh, I love that. That's so sweet. It makes me think of my kids playing with our dog in the yard in the snow. Our dog loves the snow, so it's always fun to watch them do that. Do you have a quote or philosophy that you live by?
Well, not necessarily a quotation, but where I'm moving in my philosophy is that listening is becoming more and more important as I get older. And I didn't listen well when I was young. I think a lot of young people do listen well, but I didn't, and I'm trying to listen more.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good message.
Now, are you ready for some serious talk?
Yes.
Okay. One law that guided our research was the Tennessee bill that allows licensed therapists to refuse treatment due to sincerely held beliefs, which basically legalizes mental health care discrimination.
Right.
What laws and legislation in our wonderful state of Tennessee, positive or negative, affect the LGBTQIA plus people the most?
Well, that is certainly one that was very significant, and researchers at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, looked at the aftermath of that law and how it adds more stigma for LGBTQ people and others who might be seeking counseling or other mental health resources. He pointed out, this is Dr. Patrick Grzenka, pointed out that already our community suffers a lot of stigma and mental health issues because of systematic discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also more leery than the general population of seeking counseling and therapeutic resources because of the possibility of discrimination.
Yeah.
So that's certainly one. Another law that has affected LGBTQ Tennesseans is one that was passed by the legislature in 2011. And it prevents local governments, meaning your county and city governments, your city council, your county commission, from passing non-discrimination policies that go beyond state standards. Well, state standards don't include sexual orientation and gender identity.
Hmm.
So your county and your city cannot pass an ordinance like the city of Atlanta has that forbids discrimination in housing and so forth based on sexual orientation and gender identity. We cannot do that in Tennessee because the state said no.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want to discuss any particular laws that hit close to home or a little more personal for you?
Well, some of those would be positive experiences. You know, I remember working in 2009 on the first Nashville non-discrimination ordinance, and that one applies to local government employees, and that one is allowed by state law. And I just want to say there's no feeling like being in the room when a positive law that you've worked on passes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And takes effect.
A bit.
And we worked for months on that with dozens of people, just ordinary citizens, but also a lot of faith communities, labor organizations, businesses. It was a wonderful coalition. And for all that to come together on third reading of the bill, and then for it to pass, and you be in the room when it passes, and then get to go to the signing ceremony with the mayor, it was an incredible feeling. So the work in Tennessee is not all negative. There are some wonderful positive moments when these things happen, and that's one that really stands out to me.
Yeah. So do you believe that there is any legislation that requires change to support equality, and if so, what would you suggest listeners do to help change these laws?
Well, one thing that we'd like to see eventually is for Tennessee to ban so-called conversion therapy for minors. And this is, you know, we'd call it quack doctoring, basically, that tries to change someone's sexual orientation or gender identity.
Yeah.
And we think minors should not be exposed to that under any circumstances because of the harm that it does to them. And a step toward that is for people in every part of the state to really get to know who their state legislators are. Everyone has, now I'm talking about at the state level, not the ones who go to Washington, D.C. At the state level, everyone has one state senator and one state representative. And a lot of people don't know who represents them. So get to know who they are and form a relationship, and at the appropriate time, bring up the issues that are important to you, whatever they are, whether it's environment, LGBTQ, healthcare, whatever is on your mind. Those are two people who represent you who can make big changes. And it's so important that it happen outside Nashville. on LGBTQ issues, all the ones who represent those of us who happen to live in Nashville already vote with us. Hmm. We need people doing this around the state. And I bet that your state lawmakers don't hear about LGBTQ issues a lot from their own constituents. So it's so important in Northeast Tennessee, Southeast Tennessee, you know, Northwest Tennessee, all parts of the state to be involved in this.
Yeah, for sure. So we mentioned that you work with the Tennessee Equality Project earlier. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to get involved with them?
Well, I had been a volunteer and board member for years before, and I was always interested in politics. I, you know, volunteered in several campaigns, but I wanted to do some work on issues, and I wanted to do it with competent people. And the people who were starting the Tennessee Equality Project knew what they were doing. They were a mix of government relations professionals, lobbyists, and also community advocates. And we've always had those two sides to our work. There is the community organizing, but there's also a very professional approach to lobbying and government relations. And that impressed me, drew me in, and it's taught me so much. So I just never stopped.
That's awesome.
You know, it's rare, I think, in advocacy to find a group of people that you can really stick with over many, many years. And I'm talking since 2004.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're coming up on 16, 17 years of that. But I found them, and I feel so fortunate to have done so. And I learned from them continually. And I think we've been able to do some good things. Never as much as I'd like, but they've been a group I could stay with and grow.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's always more to be done, though.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that reality for members of the LGBTQIA plus community will change in the wake of the new election? And if so, how?
Well, the president-elect says things will change. And part of what he can do easily, and he said he's going to do, is reverse some of the current administration's executive orders and actions on LGBTQ issues. For example, issues related to transgender people serving openly in the military.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think that's one thing. There are a number of executive orders and actions that he can take. The big deal, though, would be the Federal Equality Act, and that will require passage by both houses of Congress, the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House, to get to the president to sign. Mm. He said he would sign it if it comes to him, but it has to get through both chambers. So that's the big deal, and that would ensure there's no discrimination in housing, employment, public accommodations, education credits, some other things like that. But that is the big federal bill that is looming for further debate after January.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really big deal. We talked about that a little bit in another one of our podcasts, the discrimination specifically in education. So, yeah, that'll be a really big deal if they can get that passed.
Yep.
Where do you see us in the future in regard to legislation surrounding the LGBTQIA+ rights?
In Tennessee, we're going to have some more very dark years. There's already a bill pre-filed for the next session, and we saw it this year too, that would prevent transgender students from participating in school sports. So I think that bills attempting to restrict transgender youth from accessing gender-affirming care will be back. There could be bills attempting to undo marriage equality.
Wow.
Even though there's been a Supreme Court decision on that in 2015, a couple of Supreme Court justices have said, well, that was a really bad decision, and I think they'd really like to revisit it.
Wow.
And if a state passes a law restricting marriage or trying to undo part of marriage equality, the issue could eventually make its way back to the Supreme Court. Hmm. So we face a roller coaster, I guess, is the best way to explain it, but it always has been. a roller coaster. So, you know, in general, I think things are getting better. You know, with Elliot Page coming out as trans, I think more and more people are going to understand what it means to be trans and non-binary. The singer Sam Smith is non-binary and uses they, them pronouns. And these are people that young people are going to grow up with, grow up having never known anything else other than people coming out as trans and non-binary. You know, and that includes Tennessee, because guess what? As conservative as the state is socially, we listen to the same music they listen to in New York City and in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We watch the same movies. We stream the same shows on Netflix. There is a common culture even within our subcultures. So there is going to be ongoing conversation that's driven by a number of factors.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought up some of those people and just their coming out stories, because I think that representation is really, really important for that, for LGBTQ youth. And I also think that allyship is really important, especially here. I know another podcast we did, we talked about the power of a cis white gendered male in the South being an ally, an open ally, and how important that is. According to the University of Illinois, an ally is a person who is a member of the dominant group who works to end oppression in his or her own personal and professional life by supporting and advocating with oppressed population. With that in mind, what would you say it means to be an ally of the LGBTQIA community, and what are some things that people can do as allies to help support the LGBTQIA community?
Sure. Well, I absolutely believe that allies and alliances are very important. For example, in TEP, anybody of any sexual orientation or gender identity can serve any role. Mm-hmm. And that means that straight cisgender people can be our regional chairs. One, Justin Miller is the chair of our TEP Rutherford County Committee. That's where Murfreesboro is located. Mm-hmm. And Justin is a white, straight, cisgender man with a wife and kids. And he is a very good committee chair. And he does wonderful outreach for us in Rutherford County. And, you know, most of our committee chairs are members of our community, but allies can play a critical role in bringing their friends, their family along, and speaking out, in showing that everybody should care about these issues. Mm-hmm. So I think listening is important for allies, taking direction from the community, but you can lobby, you can speak to the media, you can talk to friends and family, you can organize events, you can do any number of things. It's really limitless in terms of what an ally can do. And I find that a lot of the people actually who come to the legislature and sit in committee meetings for us are actually older, straight, white, cisgender people. Maybe they have children or grandchildren who are members of the community, or maybe they just care about the issue. But we've got this wonderful group of retirees. Every time one of our bills is up in the legislature, they help pack the committee rooms.
Wow.
That's awesome. And
there are members of our community who are there, but the majority who come are members of the majority community.
Yeah.
That's great.
That is great. So there has been a little bit of concern among our Alpha Iota Chi members surrounding allyship. Would you say that a person needs to give up their own identity or personal beliefs to be an ally?
Well, you know, not their identity. They may find some of their beliefs challenged, mm-hmm. but it's a free country. I mean, you don't have to engage if you don't want to. But if you want to engage, you may find one or two things that are challenging. You may have to learn some new language of respect for people, and you may have to remember that and apply that consistently, and there may be a little bit of a learning curve. You may have to have difficult conversations with friends and family if you want to be an ally, if they make jokes about our community or disparaging remarks or say that You know, they support discriminatory laws. You may find yourself in situations where being an ally is a challenge, mm-hmm. but that's part of it. That's part of life. You know, so I would say engage to the extent you can with the recognition that there may be some tough conversations you're going to have.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you tired of playing 21 questions yet?
You can throw 21 more at me.
Well, luckily we only have one more.
So our last question for you is, what is the best advice you can give to others regarding unity in the LGBTQIA community?
Well, unity is hard, but and it doesn't mean you have to have unity on every single thing. There is going to be diversity of opinion and diversity of approach. Mm-hmm. But some of the goals ought to be unifying. For example, I think pursuit of the Equality Act at the federal level ought to be a unifying focus. And I hope public policy can be one place where our community can come together and say, yes, we really need to do that. But sometimes the unity comes in non-political moments. I mean, Pride is not completely apolitical. But Pride celebration is kind of like a family reunion of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
And it's a chance for everyone to come together and just celebrate. Now, there is politics involved, but it's not only politics. It's also, Pride is the opposite of shame. So it's a celebration of your identity and just freedom to be yourself. And I hope we can all, whether we're members of the community or whether we're straight cisgender allies, can agree that the freedom to be oneself liberates all of us.
Yes, I think that's the most beautiful thing to see in another person.
Yeah.
So I think that's a place where we can come together, or I hope so at least.
I agree with that. I hope so as well. So another way that you as a listener can contribute to positive change towards unity and equality for the LGBTQIA plus community is to normalize the use of pronouns. You can do this when introducing yourself, as we have in this podcast, and you may also include your pronouns in your email signature. And because everyone we know is on Zoom these days, we can also include our pronouns on our Zoom screen name. Making the distinction of which pronoun you use shows that you respect other people's rights to use their preferred pronouns.
We just want to quickly thank everyone that has helped make this podcast possible. Thank you to each artist that was open and willing to submit art and speak with us. Thank you to Dr. Thomas Reed and Chris Sanders. Thank you to all our staff at Northeast State for assisting us in this endeavor. Thank you to our advisors who have guided us through this project, and thank you to Phi Theta Kappa for facilitating this community action endeavor. We want to thank our community partners, and lastly, we want to thank those of you who have listened. We sincerely hope this podcast has enlightened you as it did those who worked on it, and we also hope you finish this podcast motivated to bring change to action and to help lift these burdens in any way possible.